Continuing our special series on celebrating the Portuguese language in the world, today we have a special guest to tell us about bilingual upbringing. Elder Duarte is a circus artist that was born in South Africa to Portuguese and Mozambican parents. Having traveled and learned more foreign languages, Elder's perspectives of life will make you think about the importance of learning a second language. Olá, bem-vindos! Welcome to Real Portuguese Podcast. My name is Rita Adonis, and I'm a Portuguese teacher who loves to share Portuguese culture and Lusophone diversity. Bem-vindos à Casa Portuguesa! Welcome to your Portuguese home! Welcome to the Real Portuguese Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here. In this podcast, we will be celebrating the Portuguese language and Portuguese culture and Lusophony diversity. We'd like to start asking you to introduce yourself, to tell us about where you're from and how many languages you speak. In which countries have you lived? Because I know that you have lived in many countries and traveled quite a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, hello. Thank you very much for the invitation as well. I'm glad I'm here talking to you and helping you out with your project.
Thank you.
And I think it's very interesting, and it's good for you to create these materials for your students and to start these conversations. It's good. It's also good that we have Portuguese programs working on this subject, right? In a country that has so much diversity, it's very important, I think.
Yes.
My name is Elder. I'm a circus artist right now. And I am from South Africa and from Portugal. So my parents are Portuguese. My mom is from Mozambique, although it was a Portuguese country back then. But when they got married, they moved to Swaziland and they moved to South Africa and they lived there for 10 years. So I've been bilingual since I was a kid because my parents talked both languages at home. Right. And when you have two different languages, you basically learn two different ways of thinking. That helped me a lot with the languages as well.
Right.
My dad used to teach me how to think about the root of the word in Portuguese. Like when I asked something, he would say, like, go to the dictionary. Think about the origin of it.
What does it feel like to be bilingual? What are the advantages and disadvantages?
Advantages are basically you have, and especially if you have two very different languages or, well, that have different roots, you learn different vocabularies or at least different families of thinking. Because actually, every language has their root of thinking. If you think if it's a genderized word, if it's a plural, if it changes or not. So the conjugations, all of that affects the way you think. I speak Portuguese and English natively.
Yes.
And I also learned French in school and Spanish because I went to Spain. I lived there for 8 years and I learned the language. There's a lot of false friends. Those are the disadvantages mostly. We basically create misinformation or we understand things wrong because of the false friends.
Yes.
And when languages are very related, there's a lot of false friends. In Spanish and Portuguese, that's the biggest problem. But
especially if you try to make, if you try to make literal translations.
Exactly.
That's very funny when people do that. Yes.
Yeah, and if you don't have the references of the idioms and the expressions, it's very confusing sometimes. Mm-hmm. At the same time, there's similarities in those sayings, in those idioms. They're not all the same, but we always have like similar ditados.
Sayings.
That's it. Idioms, sayings, yeah. And yeah. But at the first moments or the first months, you kind of struggle with that, trying to learn the whole structure. After a while, it becomes part of your lexicon. It becomes part of your thinking as well. I started understanding that when I started dreaming in those languages, like when you understand that your unconscious uses that whole basis and makes you dream in that language, I think your brain is already adjusted to the technique of the thing, of the language, of knowing the rules.
Right.
And you stop thinking about them. You just react, you just talk. Exactly.
I would like to ask you, in general, like, you've traveled and you lived in New Zealand, you said, and Spain. Did you feel that they had an idea about the Portuguese language?
No. You meet a lot of people, right? So there's a lot of levels. I've met people in Brazil who didn't know we spoke Portuguese in Portugal, for example.
Really?
Because I would introduce myself as Portuguese and they would be like, oh, really? What do you speak in that country? And I'm like, the country that colonized your country and gave you the language or made you speak that language as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm from that country. and at the same time, many people, well, in the States, people knew where Portugal was. Some others didn't, thought that it was a province of Spain. Those typical stories that we hear here.
Yes, province of Spain.
So yeah, we're a very small country.
Yes.
We're a very small country, and the reference of us as the country, we are very present in history, but not everybody studies about Portugal or knows about Portugal in their in their school or in their country.
But the Portuguese language is spoken in 9 countries and in different continents. So it's not so much about the country itself, but about the Portuguese language. Do you feel that people around the world have this notion of these many countries that speak Portuguese?
Not so much, because I think we have a different visibility. For example, the States, everybody speaks English now. It became a marketing language. It became a working language.
Yes.
It was a capitalist. That's my perspective. It had a diffusion. It became part of many things because it's a very old empire, if we think about old England or old the United Kingdom. But so English had that spread. We didn't do that. We didn't have that post-imperialism power, I think. And we were countries that were poorer. We had less resources, I think. So we do have a prevalence because of our discoveries, the colonization. And these countries are very big, very wide, but they weren't very developed, I think. I think that's my idea. People knew about Portugal. Most of the references they had from Portugal were football. Like Cristiano Ronaldo. When I was in Morocco, everybody would, well, people talk to you in the squares, trying to sell you stuff and talk to you, blah, blah. And they would hear, oh, I'm from Portugal. And they'd be, batatas fritas, Cristiano Ronaldo. So French fries are a reference. No. Batatas fritas were the thing they thought about. So people know about us. They don't have that idea that it's spoken worldwide, or that it's spoken by so many countries and so big of countries. Mm-hmm. And the idea that it's difficult or not, I think it is difficult. It is an old language. It's very rooted in Latin. We still have words that are originally from Latin. I found out when I was in Spain, I had friends who were philologists, and I learned that jantar, dinner, is a word that we keep from original Latin. It's one of the few countries that still, or the only maybe, that has that word for dinner. And it's like a leftover of the Roman Empire, because we were the farthest away from the center of the empire, in a way. We were in the extreme, the coast. And so things took longer to get there. Words, new words or new things would take longer to get there, but they also would stay for longer. They would take longer to disappear as well.
Right.
I like these little stories, actually, but the origins of the words and the way we kept so much vocabulary. In Spain, when I was starting to learn, I would still talk a lot of portuñol, mixing Portuguese and Spanish. And when I used the words that I would use in Portugal, they would say that their grandmothers or grandfathers would use those words a long time ago. and that's how we speak. Right. We are old Spanish. We are old Portuguese, like Galaico Portuguese. So we are still using those old roots in the way we speak.
Yes.
And the phonetics. We have horrible phonetics. Not horrible, just very, very wide. We have a lot of vowels, a lot of diphthongs, and that's hard to perceive if you never heard those words. Our nasal sounds, the oh, ain't. Those are horrible for the English speaker. Yeah. It's a whole jumble in the brain when you're trying to interpret a thing you don't understand naturally. Like, it's not in your context to understand that sound as a language, as part of language. So that's, I think that's what's harder for Portuguese. I think Portuguese and Polish are some of the most difficult languages to learn. On the other hand, because we're Portuguese natives, we do have a lot of sounds that we recognize. So it is easier for us to learn new languages. Yeah. And we don't understand that other languages have way less sounds that don't make it easy for them to make that.
We had a guest on this podcast who's from Guatemala, and he now speaks Portuguese very well. And he was saying that when he started having contact with the language and started learning, his throat would get really sore because he didn't know that there were sounds that were really working the muscles. And at the end of the day, he said his face and his throat would hurt.
We're tired.
That's really funny.
But it's true. It is a physical preparation, actually. Yeah. There's a lot of sounds that we have to put the tongue
and
in a different way.
He speaks Spanish, which is similar.
Yeah, but Spanish is very nasal, actually. Mm-hmm. And we use a lot more throat sounds that they're not used to. So it is interesting, right? It's actually not just a mental adaptation, it's a physical adaptation.
Yes.
It's like learning new exercises, new movements, physical movements.
Yes.
That's it. Very interesting to hear that. That's
okay.
Perspective.
I would suggest that we speak in Portuguese now so that our listeners can also learn some Portuguese.
And I
always make a worksheet for each episode, so they will be able to find the transcript of our conversation.